Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh. You ready, Rob?
Let's crank this bad boy up.
Oh. Okay.
Here we go.
Oh.
Stop the phone with this, Rob.
Hey, I'm trying to get crumb.
Coming out with the yin-yang.
Waking up.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
Yeah.
He's waking up America.
That's what we gonna do, right? You, me and my brother, we came to get free.
What?
We keep on coming.
I love it. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are here. Stand up. Get a little crunk, man. Today is Tuesday, November the 5th. We had a little hiatus, but we are right back where we left off. Of course, we are ready to get this party started. You're not going to, like, haze us, man. I'm just saying. There ain't no hazing going on. It's what it is. But anyway, I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host Robert Ford. You like that, Rob? I always try to throw out some little fun stuff here based upon what's going on in the world. But I just want to check in, and how are you doing, sir, this evening, man?
Man, doing great. Want to apologize to our listeners. Of course, we've been on a couple of weeks hiatus. We've been traveling, of course. Andre's been traveling. I've been traveling. We've been sleeping, oversleeping. We're back, America.
We're back, and as Rob said, we're ready to kick the show off. We've got a lot of fun topics to discuss, but as always, I want to throw out some numbers just in case you wanted to reach out to us and tell us your thoughts, feedback, all that fun stuff. To reach us, the number to call directly to the show, and we invite you to do that, it's 424-243-9519. That's the actual number to call into the show. We're also available via Facebook on Twitter. If you want to find us on Facebook, go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you literally type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man in the search bar, you'll be able to find us, as well as we're on Twitter, which is at the number 12, thmansports.com. So that being said, I know we got to talk about a lot of things. The world is talking about Richie Incognito. We'll probably see if we can dive into that a little later on. But let's talk briefly, sir, about Monday Night Football and the Green Bay Packers. They actually had a pretty significant injury. If you're in fantasy, you know pretty much what I'm talking about. But in addition to losing Aaron Rodgers for a few games, they actually placed tight end Jermichael Finley on injured reserve. And I guess the question is, and I don't know if you saw a snippet of this, Rob, as far as how the Packers perform. Is that just kind of like the offense kind of suffered, obviously, because Rodgers makes that goes. Was that a product, you think, more of the defense of the Chicago Bears, or kind of just, you know, kind of the struggles to the Packers offense, sir?
Well, I think it's a combination of both here when you're looking at it here. Aaron Rodgers is one of the top five quarterbacks in the game, and so you lose a player of that caliber. Then, of course, you lose one of the better tight ends in the game in Jermichael Finley. So now if you're the Green Bay Packers, head coach Mike McCarthy has got to revise what he does for at least a few weeks until Rodgers comes back. And Eddie Lacy has been running the ball really well. I think what you want to do now is become more of a ball-control offense to try to see if you can survive the next couple of weeks without Aaron Rodgers in the game.
Yeah, Seneca Wallace has been taking over for Aaron Rodgers, and he's, you know, he's a pretty capable guy, but he's definitely no Aaron Rodgers, man. So as you mentioned, it's definitely going to change the offense. Rob, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers makes any coach look good. So this is going to be a tough test for Mike McCarthy to see how he's able to get this Packers offense going for sure, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I think, you know, you're going to have to revise what you do a little bit. You know, you're probably going to have to try to become more of a ball control offense. You're going to have to get out and get some, you know, trick plays in the offense, run the ball with Eddie Lacy a little bit. And you may be throwing a little wildcat wrinkles, so, you know, Seneca Wallace, a little bit of the spread look, you know, some rollout bootleg plays to take advantage of, you know, Seneca Wallace's feet and the speed. And so yeah, I think you're going to have to revise a little bit of what you do, be a little bit more creative. But I think, you know, your dynamic passing game is going to take a hit without Aaron Rodgers.
Gotcha. Good call as always. Well, real quick, we're going to talk briefly. There's been a lot of unfortunate incidences, Rob, with some coaches that have not taken heed as far as their health. And I don't know if it's a situation where they're overworking themselves or just, you know, maybe it's just a situation where, you know, the stress of the game gets to them. So what do you think about the NFL? Is there anything they can do to kind of help the coaches? You know, Gary Kubiak goes down. John Fox goes down a little bit. We know about Chuck Pagano, which wasn't really related to a work thing, but a lot of coaches that were down and out. So what do you think about this, Rob? Do you think it's kind of an NFL thing that's come in, or should they kind of police the coaches and say, hey, let's put caps on certain things? What do you think about that?
Well, I think this is something the NFL has to strongly look at here. When you have two coaches, you know, two popular coaches, John Fox, Gary Kubiak, you know, kind of, you know, fall ill, you know, within the same weekend. I think the NFL has to highly look at something here. How can we help these guys as far as reducing their work schedules here? And I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, around the country, I don't know if they realize this, but head coaches, they look out for the entire team before they look out for their own selves. So they're going to make sure the players are taking care of themselves. They're going to make sure the assistant coaches are taking care of themselves. They're taking care of their own selves last. And so, I mean, they're concerned about everybody else's situation, everybody else's family. But at the same time, you know, I think the NFL is going to have to do a couple of things. I think they're going to have to help these coaches with their schedules. I think they should look at reducing their media obligations as well as, I think the NFL is going to have to come in and limit the amount of hours that these coaches should be working in a week. And so I think, you know, they're going to have to try to come up with some kind of system to make this an even playing field and, you know, and help these coaches, you know, take care of themselves as well.
Good points, Robin. I want to kind of piggyback onto that because I remember whenever we had a pretty interesting interview with Dan Reeves, that, you know, coach of the Broncos, Giants, Falcons, Cowboys. He's been around the league for a minute. And he actually said exactly what you mentioned.
He's about
Rob,
as old
that,
as you.
we're not going to jump into that right now. But he basically said a pretty good comment. He's like, a lot of times, like you said, it's like you're so focused on everyone else that you kind of, you know, he was pretty much thinking, hey, I'll get checked out near the end of the season. And he had some signs that he wasn't feeling good. So he reaches out to his doctor and says, hey, I mean, you know, I'm kind of feeling this way. Do you think I should kind of put it off? And, of course, his doctor said that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Man, you need to get this checked out right now. And then that day he goes and he has that bypass surgery. So, you know, like you said, I think coaches are kind of conditioned to kind of look for everyone else first as opposed to themselves. And they definitely should take the time to get evaluated and make sure that they're in good health. I think it's similar, Rob, to the players. They get a physical. I'm not sure as far as exactly when. I know they get it, you know, every year, and they're kind of getting checkups. Same thing should happen to the coaches. They should definitely get that mandatory checkup, make sure they're okay, and just to kind of make sure, like you said, the stress of the game is not getting to them at all.
Absolutely. Could not have said it any better.
Good deal. All right, we are moving right along, talking sports with the 12th man. What? Good stuff, good stuff.
Back in full effect, America.
Back in full effect. Let's talk briefly, Rob, about the NFL's top five teams. Since you were out last week, I'm going to give you the floor to start off, and I will piggyback after you give us your top five teams for sure. So you have the floor, sir.
Well, number one, I'm going to start off with the Kansas City Chiefs, the only undefeated team in the NFL. You know, some people are going to say, well, I mean, have they played anybody tough yet? Well, you know, maybe they haven't. But they're undefeated, and anytime you're undefeated in the NFL after 9 weeks, you're playing against professionals every week. That still has to be professional. I mean, it still has to be, you have to give them credits for that. And I think Andy Reid and his team, they're playing outstanding defense. They're playing ball control on offense. They're getting the job done. And I think this team is going to be a tough out just because they have the playmakers on defense. And they have a quarterback who's not really turning the ball over. You got a running back in Jamal Charles. And so this is going to be a tough out. They control the clock. They control the line of scrimmage. Offensive, defensive lines playing well. And so right now I got to start off with the Kansas City Chiefs. Number two, I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. Tampa Bay had them on the ropes this past weekend. Seattle had to come from behind to win. And sometimes, unfortunately, some teams take teams lightly. And, maybe Tampa Bay, they did take them lightly. They were winless at the time. Well, Tampa Bay still winless. Seattle, bounced back, woke up, and came back and won the game. There's no quitting that team. And so right now I have them at the number two position. Number three, I have the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning, offensively, it looks like their offense is second to none in the NFL. The defense still has a lot to be desired. They're still giving up a lot of yardage, giving up a lot of points. So you wonder if that's going to come back to bite them come playoff time. But offensively, Peyton Manning is having a phenomenal year. And no Sean Marino is probably the best season he's having at the running back position, catching the ball out of the backfield as well as running the football. Then when you look at all the weapons at the receivers positions and Bebe Thomas, you look at Eric Decker, you look at the tight end Julius Thomas, Wes Welker. I mean, obviously they have the most weapons of any team in the NFL, and it's showing offensively. So I have them at the three position. Number four, I'm going to go with the New England Patriots. And, it looked like early in the season, everyone was saying that Tom Brady was washed up. It looked like the Patriots on their way down. But obviously Belichick and Brady are saying not so fast, my friend. They've been lighting up the scoreboard here the last few weeks. And this looks like the Patriots all over again. And I have them at the four position. And number five, so even though they were on the bye this past week, the 49ers on the roll as well. I think they won like five in a row. So this is a team you got to look out for again. The 49ers still have great personnel on both sides of the ball. Another team you want to look out for.
I need to know if Robert Ford has been kidnapped. Has Robert Ford been kidnapped? Is this Robert Ford? Because the Saints aren't in this particular top five. Is that what I'm hearing correctly?
Well, I have them just outside of the top five, somewhere around six. You can make a case for the Saints or the Colts at number six right now.
I'm just not sure how to react, man. It's pretty amazing. Wow.
Hey,
all
I
right.
call it like I see it. Even though I want the Saints to be number one all the time.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I think starting out at the gate, we're very similar. Kansas City, they've got to be number one because they are still undefeated. So, at 9-0, like you said, it's tough being undefeated in that position. So I'm going to give that to them. Number two, I still like the Denver Broncos. Even though, Rob, I think you're a closet Bronco fan, I've got them at the number two spot. Number three, the aforementioned Seattle Seahawks, who are coming to play the Falcons, who've had pretty rough season right now. I don't see any end in sight. I think Seattle's going to definitely handle their business, and I think mostly pull like
we
a
We need Atlanta to win that game this weekend. We're going to have to be Falcon fans this weekend.
I could offer you more, sir. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's just me. Not that I don't want it to happen. I just think, it's just going to be kind of tough as far as everything. But we could pull off an upset. We could surprise some people. But, don't really look for that. I agree with you, actually, at number four, as far as the Patriots. Tom Brady's been kind of doing his thing. It's good to have Gronkowski back. I know he kind of leaned on him probably a little bit too much. That was his security blanket. But you definitely got to like what's happening with the Patriots. If you're a Patriots fan, Giselle's keeping Tom warm, making him take funny pictures. But other than that, that's what's going on as far as that. The last team, like you said, so this was kind of a tough one. There's a couple teams that could have gone either way, honorable mention. You decided to go San Francisco at 6-2, which is phenomenal. Like you said, I like the options of the Colts. There's a lot of teams that could literally take this position, but there's not a definite just dominant team just yet, so I'm going to have to agree with you and go with the 49ers in this particular instance, and hopefully to see if they're able to make a run and kind of keep it going, if you will.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. Let's talk about some NFL predictions, and we have some pretty good games. And before I do that, I do, as always, want to throw out the numbers one more time if you want to call in, give us your thoughts, feedback, all that stuff, which would be thoroughly, thoroughly welcome. If you want to call into the show, we invite you to call our actual phone line. It's 424-243-9519. Don't forget to give us your thoughts. Tell us what you think if we are making sense, if we are doing this thing justice, as well as Facebook. Once again, facebook.com/12thmansports. If you put Talking Sports and 12, you find us. And we're also on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports, plural. That's how you can find us on all of those particular social media outlets. But without further ado, sir, let's jump right in. Let's talk about some college football, NFL. I apologize. I was looking at the college football. Let's talk about NFL. And let's talk about Detroit at Chicago. Now, Detroit, the Pats, a pretty explosive offense. They've been playing well, and I think that Chicago's been playing well too. But now it's kind of one of the situations. You got an NFC North battle. The little brother is trying to, like, compete. What do you think about this prediction with Detroit at Chicago, sir?
Well, I tell you what, you know, I know Detroit is favored in this game, but this is kind of the way I look at it here. I like the Bears in this game, whether Cutler or McCown is the quarterback, and it's for a couple of reasons. Detroit doesn't play they don't play as well outside, and I think the Bears defensively has enough where they can slow Detroit down. They're not going to shut them out, but they got enough to slow them down. And as you can see, McCown has played very well the last couple of weeks. His Bears team hasn't missed a beat. Brandon Marshall, Elshon Jeffrey is two of the most physical receivers in the NFL. It's becoming a great tandem at the receiver position. Matt Forte is doing his thing on the ground as well as catching the football. And so offensively, in the Bears, offensive line is much improved from where they have been in the last few years. So you got to give Aaron Cromer, offensive line / offensive coordinator, a lot of credit for improving that offensive line for the Chicago Bears. And so I like them at home. Like I said, Detroit, over the last few years, don't play as well outside. So even though they're favorites in this game, I like the Bears, whether Cutler or McCown plays at the QB position. Andre, you awake?
I did it again. I muted myself. Dang it, I got to stop doing that. I apologize. I'm just going to leave it on. Leave it off. I always keep muting myself to make sure I don't like get any background over here. What I was going to tell you is that I kind of agree with you in that I think that it's in spite of Detroit, I like the explosiveness of Detroit. You do have to wonder about the home field advantage with Chicago. And I agree that may give them a slight edge in this particular example. Detroit's been playing really well, though, Rob. So I think it's going to be a closer game than what we expect. So we'll keep an eye on that particular game and see what goes down. Let's talk about another game here, Carolina at San Francisco. And this is an interesting matchup because Cam Newton's been playing really well. And he goes into a Lions in at San Francisco. This is a very exciting game, Rob. I'm curious for our West Coast fans, what do you think is going to happen? I know Alden Smith has been definitely been in the media under scrutiny here. He's been suspended here. So what do you think is going to happen in this particular game, sir?
Yeah, you got to like the way Carolina's been playing defensively. They're playing phenomenal. And Cam Newton is having his best year as a pro so far. But I think they're going to come up short on the road at San Francisco. And you know what's interesting? These are, I think, are two very similar ball clubs. I don't know if Carolina is quite as good as San Fran just yet, but I think when you look at these teams, they're, you know, very good on defense, you know, good talent, front seven on defense. You got quarterbacks that are similar, both can throw the ball, both are very mobile, big guys that can throw the ball and run. And so two very similar teams. I think this game is going to be close. I think the 49ers squeak it out in the end at home.
Yeah, this is kind of one of those – I could see an upset with Carolina. I agree with you in that they're very similar. I think, of course, San Francisco has a slightly better defense, slightly better. And not that it's – you know, obviously Carolina's got a pretty good front four. Luke Kuechly, he's coming into his own as linebacker. Like you said, it's tough because you got to think home field in this particular example. So a good call. Let's talk about a big, big game that I'm sure you're going to be watching. You got the Dallas Cowboys at the New Orleans Saints. And it seems like we're all going homerism because we can go all with the home teams in this instance. You know me, I don't trust Tony Romo to throw a stick with him. So I'm going to pick New Orleans in this particular example. Just up front, I know it's going to be interesting that Rob Brown is going to be facing his former team. He may have some tricks up his sleeve for Tony Romo, and I think playing at home is going to definitely affect him, and I think the Saints are going to pull it out.
Yeah, you know, the one thing about, you know, Sean Payton, and you know, since he's been a head coach in the New Orleans Saints, the Saints thrive on these primetime games at home, and they're coming off of a loss. So I think the Saints will be motivated. You know, Rob Ryan will be motivated going against the Cowboys. That's a good point that you made. And I think Dallas, I think they're the best team in the NFC East, but I still think they come up short. And I like the Saints to win this game by at least 10 points or maybe even 14 points at home as they bounce back after losing to the Jets this past weekend.
Wow. Man, all right. By 10 points, so you got pretty confident. Okay, we'll see how that plays out for sure. Before we talk about fantasy shout-outs, Rob, I do briefly want to talk about the subject that's been getting a lot of headlines, and Richie Cognito, how he was pretty much hazing, if you will. I don't even think it's called hazing, but kind of trying to put Jonathan Martin through a initiation as far as the rookie orientation there. Now, the question that I have as far as did you think he went too far? Would you want Richie Incognito on your team? And what do you think the NFL should do to kind of prevent this from happening? And do you think the NFL should get involved, or should they kind of keep it in-house and let the players handle this? So I'm sure they're kind of curious to hear your thoughts about this, Rob.
Well, this is, you know, I think some of the wording that King, you know, from Richie Incognito was unacceptable. You know, using the N-word, talking about you're going to kill someone and things of that nature. Whether you're joking or playing, you just don't talk like that. And I think there's no place for that. I think, you know, we all know about how the NFL came down hard on the Saints for a so-called bounty scandal. And so I think if you, you know, you come in, I think what you're starting to see is, you know, a lot of things behind the scenes in football that I think we know have been going on for a long time. And this is one of those kind of things where there's a culture in the NFL that needs to be cleaned up. And I do think, you know, rookies are expected to carry veterans' bags, bring them donuts and things like that. And I think that's one thing. But this particular incident, I think, has gone way too far. And, way too far. And obviously, I think the NFL has to do something to step in and to clean up these kind of things and make sure that this is not existing, you know, around the league.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, Rob, and I think you hit the nail right on the head because you were talking about it's okay to do hazing. I'm sure you've heard about the $15,000 meals that they have to end up paying. But whenever you kind of take it offline and you take it in personal time and kind of attack it the way that Richie has attacked, that's whenever you've crossed the line. So definitely agree with you as far as it's not appropriate by any means. Definitely you hear that he's not going to be playing with the Dolphins anymore. The question, you know, as far as NFL kind of like cracking down, you know, the new CBA, they have certain things as far as, you know, what to do. And if you're – it's just a tragic scenario, Rob, because it's kind of taken away from players that are trying to do the right thing and that are trying to uphold their standards and do a good job as far as, you know, just kind of being a representative of the Shield. So that's my little two cents. I don't know if you want to say anything else as we get ready to kind of talk about fantasy shout-outs, sir.
Oh, no, I think we covered that in a nutshell. And as well as the rest of the sports media world has been on this topic pretty heavily here. So it's going to be interesting to see how long the suspension is going to take place. And as of right now, it's going to be an indefinite suspension. I'll be shocked if he plays again the rest of the season.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Let's keep moving. We got about 4 minutes left in the show. One more time, I want to throw out the numbers one more time as we get ready to kind of get near the end. We're talking sports with the 12th man.
Time flies when you're having fun, huh?
Time always flies when we're having fun. 424-243-9519. We got a lot of things to kill over, Rob. Also, don't forget Facebook, Twitter, Twitter at 12th Man Sports, as well as on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. You'll find us in that instance. Let's give some fantasy shout-outs, Rob. We've got about 3 minutes and 30 something seconds left. I want to show you want to give some fantasy shout-outs, and we'll keep it moving from there.
Yeah, well, you know, we'd like to thank all of our, you know, fantasy players this year and our fantasy. Right now we have 3 active leagues going. Our first fantasy football league, of course, 12th Man Sports Fantasy Football League number 1. My co-host, Andre Peterson, straight cash homie, holding down the first place spot as of right now. In our second fantasy football league, a good friend of mine, Crazy Crew, Wayne DeGreen's holding the first place spot. And, of course, our only fantasy basketball league, yours truly, Robert Ford, holding down the first place spot. As of right now, once again, we'd like to thank all of our competitors for competing. And there's still a lot of football and, of course, a lot more basketball to be played as well to see who's going to bring home the championships.
Bring home the bacon. Bring home championship. That's what it's all about. Well, sir, you said it. Time flies when we are having fun. We got about 2 minutes and 27 seconds. I guess before, without further ado, let's definitely talk about the next week and possibly OT. We're not going to go too deep with OT because I know it's been a long week already. But, Rob, let's set the show for next week and we'll keep it moving, sir.
Yeah, make sure you guys join us again on next Tuesday night, same time, same channel, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, and 8 p.m. Pacific time. If our good friends in Hawaii, aloha, it'll be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time on next Tuesday night. We're going to talk some college football here in our OT section here, so make sure you tune in, listen to it, click on the same link on tomorrow, and you can listen to all of our college football predictions. Good night, people.
Yes, good night, people. We want to thank you as well for always listening in. I know we jump on hiatuses every now and then, but granted, no rest assured that we always want to have some fun talking sports with the 12th Man as we get ready to go into the holiday season, all that good jazz. As Rob mentioned, we definitely want to give a big, big thank you for all of our fantasy players, basketball, football leagues as well. I don't think we're ever going to baseball league up. That's just really complicated to jump in, so we're going to keep our main ones there. But, yeah, we appreciate that. As Rob mentioned, we're jumping to the OT portion. We're going to talk about some college football predictions. Rob, I want to get your feedback as far as some potential Heisman players and some thoughts about that, if that's okay. We'll have an abridged OT portion. As it's not live, definitely feel free to click on the link and listen to it live as you're driving or if you want to listen to it in the archive. I'm in the process of kind of getting these shows categorized for moving for forward stuff, so if you want to post that. But that's it. Rob, you want to say anything else before we get ready to jump into the OT portion of the show?
That's it, America. Once again, make sure you join us next Tuesday night, same time, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Good night, America.
Good night, America. All right, 10 seconds left. Let's go ahead and jump into the OT portion of the show. As mentioned, we are going to talk about college football, all that fun stuff, Rob. I want to talk a little bit about my guy, Jameis Winston. We are officially in the OT portion, by the way. And the Heisman talk is that you've got him, you've got my quarterback from Oregon, Marietti, and also you have there's some kind of a distant third. Maybe you got to AJ McCarron. What do you think about it? Are we going to have another possibility of having another rookie, a.k.a. freshman, possibly get a shot to possibly win the Heisman, sir?
Well, Jameis Winston is right there in the hunt. I tell you what, this guy's mature beyond his years. He reads the defenses. He's got a strong arm. I tell you, the guy calls his projections at the line of scrimmage, which you don't see a lot of freshmen doing. And he's getting the job done. I mean, they're blowing people out. I still think he's second to Marcus Marietti at this moment. I think Marietti is still right now, at least in my opinion, the favorite to win the Heisman. You look at what Oregon is doing as well. But Jameis Winston is right on that tail. And right now I have him at a close second. So it's going to be interesting. Of course, there's a lot of football to be played. And the way their teams perform here down the stretch is going to have a lot to do with it as well.
Good job. I like it, Rob. I always appreciate your insight about that, too. So that's very insightful. Good call. And like I said, I think we're going to talk about some big games. Number one, Oregon going to Stanford. That's going to be pretty big as well. But we'll talk about that in a quick second. Let's talk about Oklahoma, number 10 Oklahoma, going at number 6 Baylor. And, Rob, you talk about a Baylor team that has been slowly but surely getting out of the Robert Griffin shadow. What do you think about this game?
Well, I tell you what, just, for our college football fans out there, this might be the best Thursday night in college football history when you look at the two matchups here, Oklahoma at Baylor and you look at Oregon at Stanford, both of those games on Thursday night. I don't think there have ever been, two better games on a Thursday night in college football history. So for our college football fans, I tell you what, this is going to be the best Thursday night in college football history here. And you look at Oklahoma, they've been playing really well of late and with some pretty big wins. Baylor is number 6 in the country. I mean, this team is averaging 64 points a game. They're averaging over 700-some yards per game. But the problem is they haven't beat a ranked opponent yet. They're undefeated. So this is probably going to be their first true test. Lachey Seastrunk is one of the better running backs in the country. Art Briles is one of the most innovative head coaches in college football. You don't hear his name a lot. And I'll tell you, this Baylor offense has some great receivers. They're going to be tough to stop. I like Baylor at home in this game. Even though they haven't been tested, they haven't played a ranked opponent yet, this will be their first chance. I like them in the squeaker of Oklahoma at home.
Who do you think I'm going to go with, Rob? Who do you think I'm going to pick, as long as you've known me? Who do you think I'm going to go with in this instance?
I know you're going to pick Baylor because you think Oklahoma fails in big games.
100% accurate. I am not – I don't know what it is. Bob Stoops is not – delivered, man. So I'm going to keep that moving, Rob, in that instance. Everything you said as far as the Baylor offense, I don't know as far as stats-wise, as far as how that defense is. If they've been giving up a lot more. But like you said, offensively, they do everything right. I agree with you. I think now is the time for them to kind of be on that national stage. I don't think they're going to disappoint, and I think that Oklahoma is going to crumble kind of what they always seem to do, so I like Baylor in this particular game. Let's keep moving. Let's talk about another, like you said, this is whenever College Rob gets the win. Circle gets the square. They're going to be NFL in this instance. They got another excellent game. Number 3, Oregon, at number 5, Stanford. This is one of those situations, Rob, where I actually like Oregon in this particular example game. It's tough because I'm a huge fan of David Shaw. I'm a huge fan of that pro style offense. They've been doing some good things. I just think that you don't want to get into a foot race. I think Oregon may tire him out, Rob, unless Samford is able to kind of hold the ball. I just think that Oregon's going to have more plays in this instance. But, you know, it's going to be good. I think they're, like you said, national stage. Same thing with Baylor. I think they have an opportunity to kind of make a statement, sir.
Well, yeah, I agree with you here as well. You know, typically when you have two really good ball clubs going head-to-head, I tend to go with the home team, but not in this case. I agree with you as well. I'm a big David Shaw fan at Stanford, but I think Oregon is going to be too strong in this game. I think they go on the road and win this game. I don't think Stanford is as good as they were last year as far as controlling the line of scrimmage. Defensively, they had, you know, a little bit more team speed last year where they can slow down Oregon. I don't think they're capable of doing that this year. And I think Oregon is going to be too strong for them. And I can see Oregon going on the road and win this game by two touchdowns.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a very good game. Like I said, I'm very excited to see this because it could go a lot of different directions. Let's talk about another big game, Rob. I think you're going to know about this. Number 13, LSU at number 1, Alabama. I think if you're an LSU fan, you're trying to figure out which quarterback are you going to get, Zach Mettenberger. He's been playing extremely well, kind of regressed a little bit the past couple of weeks. But I think if anyone has kind of shown the blueprint, Rob, I don't think Alabama's totally I think they're vulnerable. They can be had. And the question is, do you think LSU is the team to actually pull off the upset? So what do you think about this instance? It can shake up some things. Who do you have? Who do you like in this particular game?
Well, as much as I hate to admit it, you know, I have to pick Alabama in this game. I think they're a more complete team. Nick Saban does not let this team take days off. And, you know, and they're going to be ready to play. I think LSU will be motivated to play in this game, but I still think they come up short in the end on the road. Okay. I think offensively, LSU's got a great mix between throwing the ball and running the ball, great offensive line. You know, I haven't been able to say this in a long time, but LSU's just not getting it done defensively this year. And so I would say I think this game is going to be a little bit more high scoring than what a typical LSU-Alabama game has been in the last few years. But I like Alabama to win this game at home. I think they're just a little bit more complete of a ball club. And, you know, I could see this game being like a 35-28 kind of win for Alabama.
Yeah, I agree with you in that it's going to be a tough game. But as I said earlier, Rob, I do think Alabama can be had. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for them. I think it's a good opportunity for LSU to try to make some strides. Like I said, you got to figure out what Zach Mettenberger is going to show up. I know he's been struggling, but I think he has the capability. You may give the edge to Alabama because it's at Alabama, and you know, we'll talk about that as well in the future. Man, we are flying right along. I guess, is there anything else you want to highlight, Rob? I didn't want to talk too long for the OT portion because I know we've had a long week. But is there anything else you want to talk about as we get ready to wrap it up and you want to set up next week as well, sir?
Yeah, we just want to, you know, prep our listeners. You know, make sure you guys hit us up on Facebook. Any questions that you guys may have, like our Facebook page, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter. At 12th Man Sports. We constantly have updates of what's happening in the sports world, so you don't want to miss out on that. Make sure you guys join us once again on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. for our good friends in Hawaii, and, of course, for all of our listeners in Germany, that will be Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. We certainly appreciate all of you all for tuning in, and don't miss us on next week. More exciting football talk.
Gotcha. As always, I want to give a big shout-out to my co-host, Robert Hoare. Thank you for a fantastic show. Doing things slightly different. I just want to give you some love. Also, like I said, don't forget to check out the next week, and I'm sure if you're listening to this via the archive session, that's what you do. You go to the archive section, listen to it. Definitely spread the word. This is what we do. We enjoy ourselves. Rob, I want to say thank you once again. Have a good evening, sir. Good night.
Thank you, bro. Good night, America.